Utah Jazz Tip-Off Podcast, bringing you stats, updates, opinions, game reviews, and all things Utah Jazz. You can follow us on Twitter at @UtahJazz_tip-off and at @ChugThemJazz. You can catch these podcasts on all your favorite podcast platforms.
Behind the mic are two diehard Jazz fan brothers that have strong opinions and conflicting views that will hopefully bring you guys insight, facts, and entertainment. Started off again.
The Jazz season is here.
We are here.
We're into it now.
Four games through, baby. 3-1. I don't know really how we're 3-1 when I look back and
me either.
Have seen mainly ugly games.
Yeah.
But we have a grinded out team.
We do. And we're winning the games that are ugly now.
And we are good in the clutch time.
Yes, that's true. We are good in the clutch. We aren't losing the games in the final seconds like we did last year. Like, we had a really ugly game last year against Orlando. We had a really ugly game against Mavericks. And now we're winning those.
Unless you talk about the Lakers. We didn't win that ugly game.
No. Oh, dear. You're right. But so, we won the Phoenix one, and we won the OKC one, and that OKC one wasn't very pretty either.
Wasn't pretty, but the meshing is in its process, trying to figure each other out.
It's true. So let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly that we've seen so far. Because there has been good, bad, and the ugly. We just haven't seen amazing yet.
No. The good. Defense.
Yep. I am shocked.
We are elite defensively.
Number one in the NBA right now.
Is it even close?
I honestly don't even think so. We'll check. So right now, we're about 2.5 points better than everyone else. Well, sorry. 2.5 points better than the second place team, which is Orlando.
Yeah.
So we're allowing about, well, our defensive rating is 92. Orlando is 94.5.
Yeah, definitely elite defensively. Why do you think, like, in my mind, it seems like we are better defensively than we were last year, at least from what I've seen. Why is that?
So last year, the numbers were actually better when it was Rudy with a stretch four and, you know, the four other players. Rudy and Favors' defensive rating actually wasn't as good when they were together. And I think it's just because, first of all, we have better perimeter defenders in Conley. He is a better perimeter defender than Rubio was. Donovan has improved a lot defensively, staying with his man. Boyan, I think, is underrated defensively. And then you also put Royce in the lineup, who is, this year, is showing he's an elite defender as well. Like, he's up there. And he's not going to get the recognition that he deserves defensively, but he is incredible. He's been crazy good on the defensive end. So, and also, I've been watching Rudy. He is a much better perimeter defender than he was last year. Like, last night, I saw that.
Yeah, it seems like Rudy, on those switches, when they get him on, like, a guard or something, he's coming out a little more to defend it. And, like, he's just playing it right. With his size, he can play a few feet back. That way, he can't get too beat off the dribble. But then he can also get there to block some shots. I mean, he had a couple of big blocks there at the end of the game yesterday. I think that one was like a mid-range shot by Booker or something. Mm-hmm. He absolutely stuffed, and that was in clutch time. So I feel like he's really, which I didn't know was possible, he's gotten better defensively in the offseason.
That's what's shocking is he is. Now he's a two-way defender. He's not just a rim protector. He's now able to spread to the perimeter now. And last night, it really showed.
And so I think I proved my point.
You did. They were not trying in the preseason.
The preseason, like, if anything that we've learned through four games is the preseason means nothing.
That's
even
true.
Donovan, in an interview, I don't know if it was yesterday or a couple games ago, but he said that, yeah, like, in the preseason, we were just kind of trying to figure out our offense, the defensive effort wasn't there. And now, like, you see when they put an effort on defense, what can happen? Donovan is our second best defender on the floor right now. Donovan was, like, second behind Rudy on defensive win share so far this season.
Dang.
So, I mean, if you look at it, if you're watching the games, you can see his effort on the defensive end and staying in front and getting, like, the passing lanes, reading the defense, definitely improved. But not only that with Donovan, I feel like that efficiency has, offensive efficiency has definitely improved.
Yeah.
Actually, it's, like, exponentially improved.
It's crazy. It's so much better. And yesterday, I just kind of said while we were watching the game is, I just feel like Donovan, he doesn't feel like he has to sit in four shots all game. because he's not the only option anymore. I mean, Bojan is like, has really so much pressure, I think. And Bojan's been incredible. I mean, he's almost like our best player right now.
I mean, the good is this, right? It's Donovan, it's Rudy, it's Bojan, it's the defense.
Yeah.
That's the good. And the offense in the Kings game was pretty.
Yeah.
That's the good from what we've seen in through these first four games, first week of the season, is Donovan's efficiency is unreal. I feel like he has taken that next step of where he's had to be. Like, against the Suns, he wasn't great efficiency, but he still put up 25 points.
And Donovan does start slow, though, games sometimes. Once the third quarter came, he was back to, you know, like, he started making shots more regularly. He started getting more involved, but
his shot selection was a little...
It was.
Was the poorest in the Suns game than he has so far this season.
And I think it was probably just because he felt desperate again when there was just no production at all. And so he's like, freak, I got to start making the decisions again. And then he goes to those awful mid-range pull-ups in like 2 seconds in the shot clock or just fadeaways and just bad decisions. And it's just crazy that you can see where Donovan's heading, though. And holy cow, he's already a superstar. He's going to be even better once he's more consistent with that.
Yeah. Donovan is unreal. And it's cool to have him on a team. That dunk right before the half against OKC was insane.
Mm-hmm. It was just like, he's back, baby.
Yeah, it was just like, this is the season. Got you up off your feet. And that was sweet. It's just fun to see how efficient he has been, especially like the mid-range. I feel like he's developed a really solid mid-range game, which most big superstars have a mid-range game. You're going to need that when the defense wants to give you mid-range shots in this league. They want to cover the three and they want to cover the interior. So you have to develop a mid-range game to make it to where you can get your points no matter where you're at on the floor. And Donovan has developed that this year, which has been awesome to see. And that's why you're going to see him scoring 20-plus in every game, because he can score from anywhere on the floor, from the three, from the mid-range, and obviously interior. He's unreal.
And Rudy, even though, you know, his points haven't been as much, but I'm going to get into that, because I'm still really frustrated that he's not getting the lobs that he used to. Like, I watched yesterday, and probably 70 to 80% of the time, he was in the paint just chilling. With his hands up in the air, calling for the ball. Nobody passes. They just stick it around the perimeter still. And there could have been so many more lobs. I finally saw one lob in the fourth quarter from Conley to Rudy. And it was like the best time of my life.
2 minutes left in the quarter. We'll get into the bad in a second here. But I do, before we move on from the good, I want to talk a little bit about Bojan and how good he has been. It scared me on versus OKC when he went down with an ankle.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, great.
How cool was it when he came back after the half and started the half and played the rest of the game?
Yeah.
That guy is a machine.
He is. He's a monster. He is like a player that can literally do everything.
The Jazz Nation has fallen in love with Bojan through four games of the season, and he's going to be a favorite from here on out because of his toughness, because he hits shots. He's finally a guy that you just give the ball, and like when he shoots it, you just like,
go.
Like, I feel like it surprises us that guys can hit shots from the outside like we can this year. Like, we're not used to having this.
Just and a consistent, reliable shooter.
I just did not know he was that good at shot creation.
Yeah, and driving.
The creation,
I knew he would drive.
Croatian.
Oh.
You like that?
Yeah. Did you hear that somewhere?
I won't talk about where I've seen that. I want it for my own.
Oh, okay. I'm like super impressed though. Like, I knew he could drive, but I didn't know that he was that aggressive.
Yeah.
And, like, he can almost get through anybody. Like, he stared in the very first game versus OKC. He went straight down, stared Steven Adams in the face, and went around him.
Yeah.
Like, very just incredible. And he seems happy to be here. He's super dedicated.
I love his emotion that he plays with, too.
Yeah. Like his little fist pumps at the end of every shot.
Well, and his screams. Like, he's just like, the Croatian just screams sometimes. Dude. And you're just like, holy crap, I would not want to mess with him. Like, he
means business when he's on the floor.
He means business, but you can tell he loves the competition. He's very competitive, and I love that about him, and it's fun to watch. I also love, like I said, like, knocking down from anywhere on the court. Like, that one big three against the Kings from deep, and he just goes.
And the buzzer beater.
The high step back, dude. Like, I mean, I thought he was going to be our second leading scorer. I said that last week, but.
He is right now.
Yeah, he is right now. And then he might take over Donovan if Donovan's not careful. Because Bojan's going to come in night out, and he's a little more dangerous than Donovan is from three.
He is right now,
But
let's look at this.
Now,
ooh, he's only 2%. Well, that's pretty... This is crazy if this stays consistent. Obviously, it won't be that. Sorry. We're talking about three-point percentage.
Tell them.
So Donovan right now is shooting 43% from three. Boyan is shooting 45%. Now, obviously, there's no way that Boyan probably keep 45% all season. But if we can have, like, 39% from Donovan and 40% from Boyan, and keeping Royce, like, 37 to 40, like, that's three snipers.
Yeah. How about Jeff Green, 50% from three?
Yeah. He's only shot, like, 1-3 a game, I think, so far. But yeah. he hasn't shot too much.
The other night that he knocked down, but... Yeah, I mean...
Jeff Green's really good, too.
I'm falling in love with Bojan, and I'm falling in love with him quick. That guy is a stud.
I want a jersey now.
It's cool to see him... Like, when Donovan's not in the court and Bojan is, I'm not as worried as I used to. Nope. It was like, Donovan left, I was like, oh my gosh, we're screwed.
But and now, yesterday, during the game, me and Austin were like, just put Bojan in.
Yeah, like, we need Bojan in, you know? Yeah. Like, it's scary when he's not in the game now, because he is such a great creator. And it's fun to have multiple guys on the court that can create for themselves. Even Jeff Green coming off the bench. We were talking about it yesterday. Like, you get Jeff Green with a little mismatch with a smaller guard or a forward, and he will post him up and pull up from that little short mid-range jumper, and it's a good-looking shot, and it goes in most of the time. Like, I love a guy that can just take it like that, especially off the bench.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get mismatches there on the switches. And to see Jeff Green be able to do that, it's so nice to have on the floor, and I want him to get more minutes.
I know. Why was Niang in more than him yesterday?
I'm really struggling with the whole Niang thing. He has looked not great at all to me.
I think since the middle of last year, he has not looked great.
Yeah. I think Niang is a way funny guy, and he seems like a really good dude, but like, I'm really struggling why he's keeping up with minutes and Jeff Green. That minute...
He should be the backup to Jeff Green.
The dispersion between those guys' minutes should be a lot larger than it is. Right now, it's 3-minute difference. Jeff Green has 3 more minutes played than Niang.
But yesterday, Niang played a lot more than Jeff Green.
I don't know what Quinn's doing, but...
I trust
maybe
Quinn,
he's just trying to figure out lineups and what works, and you think he can figure out very quickly that Jeff Green works with any lineup and Niang works with none.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Niang should only be playing in a desperate situation where someone's injured or fouled out or something, but yeah, haven't enjoyed the minutes from Niang very much.
I also have we're going to go into the ugly now. I mean, the bad. We're going to go into the bad now since we're kind of going that way anyway.
The bad we want to talk about is Niang.
Ed Davis,
and
dude.
Ed Davis.
I am underwhelmed.
I'm struggling with Ed Davis right now.
Somewhat disappointed with Ed Davis's minutes so far. Yes, he's a vacuum. But man, he was like the third best defender last year. Second best defender behind Rudy last year. That's what it was. Like second best defensive rating, I believe.
Yeah.
This year, dude, when Rudy is off the floor, our defense is done. Like, I noticed it yesterday. Like, he went off the floor and we were up by 9, I believe. And they came right back. They came right back up. So he's not as strong. He doesn't go up and help on the perimeter like Rudy has been lately. And I just feel like, I don't know, maybe he's confused in Quinn's system. Maybe he's lost. Maybe he's just not confident. I don't know
what
it is.
There's no PNR between him and Ingles too, which is hard to see.
Well, Ed Davis, I know, I've only heard Locke say this, that he's not a PNR player.
Well, yeah.
But right now there's no PNR going around in the Jazz at all.
Yeah, that's very true. There's no pick and roll rolling at all.
There is.
A little bit with
Rudy. Does pick and roll, but they aren't taking advantage of his right now.
Yeah.
I think that
they'll figure out. And like that play with 2 minutes left against the Suns, Conley and Gobert, that little PNR that they had that led to that oop, one that sparked him to finish the game and end up winning.
Oh, gosh, and two, Rudy was so good last night.
And two, I think that will get them going. I think Conley and Gobert really need to mesh something to where they can trust one another. So Conley's not feeling like trapped. A lot of the times when he gets to the paint, he like is struggling between lobbing it or shooting it. And that's why he's
when in doubt, lob, dude. When in doubt, lob. I said this, I tweeted this out yesterday. Rudy's really the only person who can get those lobs, especially versus Phoenix. Nobody out there can grab those like he could.
But their trust isn't there yet, though. You got to understand
that.
That
is true.
They need to
mesh.
They
haven't worked with Rudy yet.
They need to mesh, and he needs to figure out where to lob it and things like that. I mean, Conley's been playing with Gasol, dude.
Yeah.
Most of his career.
That's true. I know. He's uncomfortable right now.
He hasn't had a guy that you just throw lobs up to. He's had a guy you just roll and do a little pass underneath, and Gasol will finish it kind of deal. That's how their pick and rolls work.
Mm-hmm.
Or more, probably played more of a pick and pop than a pick and roll,
pick and
right?
Pop. That's what I'd say.
I mean, we'll get into it. When we get to the ugly, we'll talk more about Conley. But I will say that meshing will come.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're 3-1 with Conley 3 for 1,000.
And last in the offensive rating.
We dead last right now?
We're 29th.
So second to last. in our offensive rating. That is awful. But
our net rating, we are number two.
Defense wins games. Especially in the regular season.
It is showing that right now.
And so when you have a defense as stout as ours, and now we have people that can still get theirs, you know, with Bojan, then, you know, like, and people still respect Conley. He's been one of the best shooters in the league.
But they were double-teaming him. They were double-teaming him, was it yesterday? I don't remember what game it was, but they were double-teaming Conley, even though he's been shooting absolutely awful. They still are double-teaming
respect,
him.
Respect, right? Yeah. Because he's going to find it, and everyone knows that. No one's.
Hopefully it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope it's tomorrow as well. But, so it's cool to see that we are that good, and we're winning games.
With Conley shooting, like,
20%. Yeah, with Conley being complete ass. You can blank that out, or, like, put a little beeping noise to that, but there's no other word to really describe it. It has been bad.
So I won't put our offense in the ugly column, but I'll put it in the bad column. Because I just think it's still uncomfortable. Conley's confused with all the systems. Bojan is starting to look really comfortable. And Donovan's fine. And Rudy hitting all those free throws last night was pretty good.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. He carried the team in that last half.
What did he go in, like, the final?
He went shot 11 for 12.
11 for 12 total on the free throws, but, like, he had, like,
he made eight in a row.
Yeah, he went 8 for 8 in clutch time. That is huge to have your center go 8 for 8, right, from the line. Like, that makes it so people can't just hack him and put him on the line. We won that game because Rudy Gobert shot 8 for 8 from the free throw line.
Yep.
We won that game because of that and because of his defensive presence. It's...
If Rudy can get to the line more,
I hate that Rudy Gobert is absolutely excellent and so many stats that don't show up on the stat sheet.
It's frustrating too.
It is, because he just doesn't get the proper respect. Like, his stats this year have not looked amazing.
No.
But he's absolutely carried this defense on his back with Mitchell's upgrade, and I think Bojan's actually a really good defender. Mm-hmm. Very underrated. And if he played in that Lakers game, it would have been different.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Rudy, though, is he's not going to... You're not going to see his impact on stats, though. I mean, you do see it in win shares.
We're going to be a number one, like, we're the number one ranked defense currently.
That's true.
Because on the back of Rudy Gobert. And if that stays, he's going to win his third defense player of the year.
And the thing about Rudy, though, is, like, those of you who are not Rudy fans or don't believe in Rudy
on Jazz
Twitter.
Which we are not believers of you and who you are if you are not a Rudy fan.
Yeah. Go watch this game again and watch when somebody drives and Rudy is there. And then watch when somebody drives and Ed Davis is there, or when somebody else is there.
If you want to know what fear looks like,
watch somebody try to drive over to Rudy.
Yeah, watch someone think that they're going to drive in on Rudy.
They literally turn around and run away.
I compare it to, like, even when, like, this is probably no comparison, but when I play basketball and, like, I'm not much of a driver, but I do like to drive, especially if I see, like, a weaker guy that's in the interior defense.
Yeah.
But, like, as soon as there's, like, a 6 foot. I mean, in ours, it's like a 6'4" guy. Like, I don't want to drive.
No.
Especially a guy that's going to be aggressive with me.
Yeah.
Like, we have a guy that we play with who is large in stature, and he's a big guy, and he'll play aggressive with you, and he's going to block you
he's
a lot
tall
of times.
And he has, like, a
like, I go in there, dude, and it's like, I don't want to shoot a floater. I'm just passing. I'm going there, and I'm throwing it back out because I'm scared. This is the exact same thing you're seeing against professional basketball players. Guys that have been doing this their whole lives. Guys that have been played against. Guys that are just as long as Rudy Gobert. But because he's so good at what he does, that fear,
it's visual. It's visible.
Tis the season. Like, if you want to see something spooky for Halloween, watch Rudy Gobert play basketball and watch people try to drive in on him, because it's fun to watch, and it's cool to have him on the team. It's very overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of guys notice it. Not a lot of fans will notice it. Not a lot of media will notice it.
He's literally a wall.
He is a wall, and he affects so many shots that aren't blocks because they're throwing it so high because they're scared of it being blocked.
Again, go watch that game last night. You'll see when he's right there, they just throw up this floater or they throw up this weird shot and his hand's over their face and they either airball or it's off the front of the rim. It's never over because they feel like they have to underdo it because of how big he is. But it's his impact is so underrated, and you're not going to be able to see it in a stat.
Yeah, and we might see his defensive his rebounding stat go up this year.
His rebounds were crazy.
Because Favors out, who's an excellent rebounder, now Rudy is pretty much your heavy rebounder. You're seeing Mitchell's rebound stats actually go up a little bit right now too.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, we lose Favors in that starting lineup. Rudy I've noticed, like, an aggressive like more of a force to get rebounds than maybe in the past, and that was because he had favors on the other side of him. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from Gobert. And Donovan said yesterday in his interview when they asked him about Rudy going 10 for 11 from the free throw line, he's like, wow, it looks like he was playing against USA again with a little smile because Rudy was so good for France. And I was thinking about that in the summer, like how good Rudy was in the FIBA. It's like, man, he needs to bring that fire this year. Like, bring it to like the NBA.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been super good.
Went on a Rudy tangent, as we tend to do.
But yeah, I mean, just overall, I just think we're going to see the offense improve with them getting more comfortable.
I'm not worried about the offense whatsoever.
There was a stat. I think it was Riley again. I talk about Riley a lot, but he just pulls out a lot of good content on Twitter, and he posts a lot of good stats. He said he tweeted a stat that showed the wins in October and November versus the wins like in the later of the season. Because of like just people getting used to Quinn's offensive system. It was like night and day. And this is normal. It's all the years that Quinn has coached. And always at the beginning of the season, it's like awful wins. Like very little wins. And at the end of the season, we always go on this huge run. Because I think
David
they're just getting comfortable.
David Locke talked about it as well.
Yeah, was like, it was cool to see it on paper though, kind of like the month by month look. Yeah. But so I mean, within a month or even less than that, we're gonna start seeing like the offense start going up to, I bet, top 10, maybe even top 5.
Yeah.
And who knows what we'll be then? But
yeah, it's crazy. Like if this defense stays as stout as it is and the offense improves, like good gracious, what's the final score is gonna be?
Yeah.
But it'd be awesome if we can get there that way. Donovan, Rudy, and Mike Conley don't have to play so many minutes in Bojan. I don't like them playing 36 to 38 minutes a night. I want them with a little less.
Rudy, I mean, Quinn looks like he's keeping Conley about 25 minutes.
Well, last night he couldn't play because of foul trouble.
He played 20. But the three games before, he stayed in about 25.
And maybe that's just because he's been sucking. But like, I would love if Donovan, Rudy, Bojan, Conley are all staying around like the 30-minute range.
Yeah.
That way we save them their energy and stuff. That way they can play every game. If they're obviously not injured, but are saved their bodies for their careers and for the playoffs.
So what do you think
play 40 minutes
about Donovan coming in with the second unit? He's going out earlier now, and he's coming in with the second unit.
I like it because of Bojan. I don't think that's possible, and I don't think you can do it without Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yep.
And now that he stays in there and you still have your scorer with your starters and an added Joe Ingles, then like it's fine. I'm not worried about it, and I know we're going to get scoring still. And I feel like Bojan actually runs the offense half decently when Donovan goes out. And there was a couple of plays there at the end of the half against the Suns that were really big. Like Bojan hit a three, and then he passed it to Royce in the corner for a three.
Yeah, that was nice.
And so those were some really nice plays and really got the team fired up there before the half. So, yeah, like I love it because then Donovan's attacking a second, like a second group for the other team, right? He's going against their bench. And Donovan going against bench guys is very, very dangerous for the other team. And he's going to attack and he's going to destroy him.
Yeah.
So, I like it. And I think that's a good thought. We'll see if Quinn sticks with it.
I think if Conley improves, I think he'll stick with it.
Yeah. We need Conley to be better if we want to go where we want to go.
Yeah. He's got to improve. And he's got to improve, I think, quickly now.
But, yeah, like, I wonder what this team would be like if you take Conley out and put Rubio in through the first four games. Like, I wonder if it would have been different because I think Bojan has made that big of a difference for us.
Mm-hmm.
But wait until Conley is, even if we get just like an 85% of what Conley's been for his career,
we're already
way better than Rubio.
Yeah.
And way more dangerous shooter.
Yeah.
And he's going to find it. He's going to get there. I'm not worried about it at all. All
right. So the ugly. Oh, dear, the turnovers.
The turnovers have been disgusting.
Ridiculous.
Hurtful.
Awful. Everything.
It's just bad.
It's a puke fest.
It really is.
It's awful. And everybody on the team is turning it over awfully.
Yeah.
Like, Rudy's had terrible turnovers. Bojan last night was... There were some terrible turnovers.
Four or five, yeah.
Donovan has been turning it over.
Joe Ingles has had a couple of good ones, too.
Niang, Moutier, literally everybody. Conley.
Moutier has some really bad turnovers. Maybe we'll take a second. I wanted to mention that.
Okay.
Moutier looked really good after the first game and in the preseason. Really good that first game against OKC, actually. And then, like, you kind of saw why he got the contract that he got.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he's inconsistent.
Has a really good little, like, knockdown mid-range pull-up from the paint kind of deal I like. And his ability to drive is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you'll just see this lack of concentration. on the offensive end, that just leads to a turnover. Yeah. Another turnover and a bad pass.
And it's like not turnover. Even close though. And like then he throws it the to next some play. Random place.
Yeah. Then you'll see next play and he'll make this great read on the defense. it's and it's a perfect pass. And you're like, wow, his vision's great.
Yeah.
And he'll follow up another turnover. So it's been kind of frustrating to watch. And mm-hmm. like hopefully I know that the Jazz staff will kind of get these guys, especially like Moutier, will get him more consistent and working better on that. That is one thing I've noticed. Like a lot of Jazz fans fell in love with Moutier after game one. Mm-hmm. But now you're saying, all right, okay, now I see why he's got the contract he's got. Now, does that say he's not going to be a big difference maker? No, not at all. But I think I see, like, that's why Exum will get minutes over Moutier when he gets healthy.
I don't think so.
Oh, he will.
I think Quinn has Exum on such a short leash. And if Moutier can still show him, take tomorrow, for example. If Moutier can come and show off tomorrow versus possibly a champion contender, if he comes in tomorrow and just shows off really, really well and he can still do that, I think that he's already got the minutes over Exum.
I don't think so.
I think Exum's going to come in. He's always rusty off the injuries. Quinn's going to pull him out again like he usually does.
Any word about Exum?
Nope.
Yep, nope.
So right now our turnovers leader is actually Rudy with 16. That's just kind of a little fact for you.
It's because he gets down to the paint and he brings that ball down.
Yeah.
Rudy, hold that ball tight and you go up and dunk that crap in their face. Mm-hmm. I hate how he gets weak with the ball. And I feel like he's gotten a little clumsier or something in the offseason where he's made weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just he's off with the chemistry.
They're throwing the passes weird, though.
The pass has been a little weird.
They're low. You can't throw
He's
Rudy
made
a lot
of poor decisions.
Yeah, but.
In the paint.
Still, I've noticed it yesterday, especially. Like, they keep throwing such low bounce passes. You don't throw low bounce passes, Rudy. He can't get it. You have to either throw it straight at him or you got to do a lob. That's the only thing he can do. So obviously he's got to improve with his hands to be able to catch any pass.
Yeah.
But like Ed Davis, he can make those. He can catch those passes that are down low. But Rudy, he's not used to it. One, he's not used to it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Rubio would always throw it high.
Yeah.
And so he's just got to get used to it and being more comfortable. That's why he comes up on the perimeter more now, I feel like, up by the free throw line. So the passes are closer, and then he does that little spin move and runs down.
Rudy's got to improve there.
Yeah.
He's got to take care of that ball better.
Issues.
And he's made a couple weird shots where you're just like, dude, what are you doing? And I know it's just...
Again, it's still kind of like not his... Like, it's not connected to what people... Like, the other game, they gave it to Rudy Gobert in the final 2 seconds of the shot clock.
Yeah, you don't...
You do
do
not
that.
Give Rudy the...
Yeah, so he had to show that stupid hook. Positions, yeah.
So it... I mean, it is a mix. Rudy needs to improve,
but also
the players need to learn to use him the right way.
I would love Rudy to develop like a good pass,
yeah.
Like where he's in the paint, makes a couple good post moves, and then kicks it out for a three.
Yeah.
Or he just slams it. Rudy, don't float that thing. Go up strong, and you're going to get a foul, or you're going to dunk it on them.
Yeah.
So.
And he's ripped, so he can.
Yeah, exactly. His turnovers, I mean, he's significantly ahead of the rest of the game, honestly. He's at 16, second place with 11 is Mike Conley.
Donovan's not even in the top five. That's good.
Yes, Donovan's taking care of the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Conley with 11. We talked a lot about Conley's struggles. He was supposed to be saved for the ugly segment, but we've kind of talked about his struggles a lot. 20% from his field goal.
We're in the ugly segment, so you can talk about him.
Yeah, I'm going to just do it. 15% from the three-point percentage. 83% from free throw, which is fine. But
let's talk about Conley while we're on it.
It's been bad.
It's hard to watch.
It hurts my soul.
It's bad. I know he'll improve, but it's hard to see it right now.
There's so many shots he's had, and this is maybe just bad luck, and it probably hurts his confidence even more. So many shots have been in and out for him that are unbelievable.
I'd say 75% of them.
I wouldn't say that much, but it's been a lot.
They like ring in and out.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like the man just cannot get a shot to fall. Like if he just sees a couple go down in a row, he's going to be fine after that. I really believe that.
The Jazz are cursed in the point guard position.
And the curse will be lifted. I lift that curse, and Conley's going to have a big
Conley.
Game.
Mountain Mike.
Mountain Mike will be back tomorrow, and it would be we're going to need him.
Yeah.
Conley has another Utah Jazz Conley game tomorrow. We won't even be in that game against the Clippers.
But the good news is?
It's scary because he's going to be guarded by Beverly, too, who is a perennial all-defensive point guard.
I didn't even think about that.
And that is
tomorrow's
going to
be
matchup,
tomorrow's going to be rough.
And it's going to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this could be a defensive showdown.
Be a big test.
It will be a test.
We're wearing the Mountain jerseys, which is good because Conley played his best in them, Mountain Mike, and the Jazz played their best in them.
That would be
There is some good luck attached to those things.
Yeah, put on a jersey that we had the best point guard ever to play in.
Yeah.
Right? So hopefully that will lift a curse there for Conley.
I know, and it's funny, though. Every single game, or every single day there's a game, I listen on the radio, I listen to Locke's podcast, I look on Twitter. Today's the day Mike has his big break. Today's when Mike does better. He's not going to have the same game as before. Every single game it's been the same. So it's...
Here's the good news. There's 78 games left.
Yes, but we're under it's 80 only now.
It's only been 4 games. And so...
But last time we said it's only been 3 games. And then tomorrow we're going to say it's only been 5 games.
We will. Until it's been 20 games. And it's like, all right, there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
You know? Because it really is. He's coming... It's a totally different offense.
He's changing his entire
right. He's game. Coming from being the guy. The guy that's going to have the ball in his hands pretty much the whole game. He's the facilitator. I mean, he's still that facilitator on this team. But it's a whole different setup and everything for him. And he's learning how to play with a soon-to-be perennial all-star in Donovan Mitchell.
Maybe he just doesn't know his place yet.
And I think that's what he's trying to figure out. And I really think him and Rudy need to gain a connection there to where he can... Like, if he gets his lob... Or not his lob, but his floater going, which is usually his go-to shot there. And he's... combines that with a lob to Rudy, that's going to be so unstoppable. What are they going to guard? The lob? Or are they going to guard the floater?
Or are they going to guard the two people on the wings?
Exactly. Like, Mike just needs to figure that out with Rudy. Like, those two, like, I feel like would be very big for each other. Screens, get Conley open, his little step back three, get that going.
Yeah.
Like, if him and Rudy can just get on the same page, I think that will give Mike the confidence that he needs to be who he is. Right? I'm not worried about it. Like, he'll figure it out. He's too good not to.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so that's probably the most ugly thing so far is Conley. But, you know, he'll get better. We kind of just talked about that.
Let's talk about the game tomorrow.
All right, so to kind of... I don't know if we're going to have a Chuck Clash today. We don't really have something to talk about right now, but maybe something will come up. Today's just kind of a game review and preview. Let's talk about tomorrow. What we expect... What we are scared to see, what we're excited to see, and what we think we will see.
One, I think key matchup here is going to be Bojan Bogdanović.
And Kawhi Leonard.
And Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
I'd love to see, like, I don't know if they're going to put Royce on Kawhi or Bojan.
I put Royce on Kawhi.
Would you?
Mm-hmm. But I think Bojan.
It just worries me because of the way LeBron absolutely obliterated my boy Royce, like with the backdowns. Like, that worries me to put Royce on him. Royce's been awesome, especially on the perimeter. I just don't know if, like, I think Kawhi might just take it to him in the paint.
I'm nervous.
Well, I think Bojan, like, that dude's a man, and he's got meat, and, like, he can put his body on him and play great defense. I wouldn't mind seeing that switch either.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a key matchup because they might not be going against each other. So if we're going against each other, it's probably going to be Mike Conley, Patrick Beverley, just because I want to see that matchup in terms of Mike's offense against Beverly's defense. Beverly's not much of an offensive player besides shooting threes. He's pretty solid.
Yeah.
But
Rudy will be really important tomorrow, as he is every game.
And watch Beverly's going to be talking some mad smack. He's a huge talker. So I hope that really fires up the boys. Like, should get the fans really into it when you see Beverly just yapping. Like, you'll see that boy yap. And I actually really like Beverly. Like, I wanted him in the offseason just because he brings such fire and he's kind of like that Crowder where he's going to get in your face.
Yeah.
And things like that. So that's a key matchup. And I'd love, like, if Conley's going to come out and just have a big game, like his opening big game, this game would be awesome because you're going against one of the best point guard defenders in the league.
Yep. Tomorrow will be a pretty exciting, crazy day with it being nationally televised.
Last time we were on national TV, it didn't go over so well with the
Lakers. We need to redeem ourselves this game.
Yeah.
The bad thing is, if you go off of history, Rudy does not do well in nationally televised games.
Correct.
And that is every single game you look at, he has not done well. And so, as long as from last year, I looked at it
2 years ago, he played against the Knicks. I don't know how I remember this or why, but he played against the Knicks on national TV and had a career game.
So. Yeah. Or maybe that's tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe it is. We need him.
But yeah, he does kind of have a rough history. I don't know what it is. It's probably just a coincidence. But
yeah.
Because Rudy is probably our most, like, consistent player. But it just seems like those times. But one person who does show out in national televised game is one Donovan Mitchell, so that'll be fun to watch.
And
Joe Ingles, typically.
Yes.
But Joe has yet to show himself.
Yeah, Joe's been...
It's been rough.
Been a little rough for Joey boy, but I'm not worried about him either. He'll figure it out.
Either. So yeah, I just expect a close game, I think.
Do we win?
Ooh, let's see what I have predicted.
So last week we made a little bit of predictions. I was wrong. I thought we'd beat the Lakers. We lost to them, but I did predict us beating Phoenix and beating OKC.
I have us winning.
Logan so far has been
pretty good.
Absolutely correct in all of his picks.
Nope, I was off on Sacramento. I thought we were going
to
lose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did. You picked us to lose against Sacramento. Yeah.
I said we're going to start
2-2.
No, 3-2.
3-2.
Because I had these five. So, but right now I'm on track.
You're on track.
So if we lose tomorrow,
you're on track.
But I do think we win tomorrow just because I'm going to give us the home court advantage. But I do think it's going to be.
If we win tomorrow, that's going to be big.
Yeah.
And I think people will start talking about us.
Because I have a lot of faith. With
a little early season chatter. But a big win against the Clippers, huge. Not huge just for the fans to freak out about.
Be big
but
for the
big
Jazz.
For the Jazz. Like the players be like, okay, yeah, we can compete with the best of them. Because that is, if you're going to the path to the finals, it's going through the Clippers this year.
Yep.
It's going through the Clippers. Yes, they're without PG tomorrow. I don't really care.
And they're Joe
Ingles
scary.
Shuts down PG, so he don't scare me whatsoever. You got our boy Joe Ingles that'll put the clams down on
and
him.
And George doesn't usually play that well against the Jazz, except for that freaking one game winner he won last year versus.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah, Paul George hurts me. But, yeah, I mean, this would be it'd be big. Like, it's going to be a fun game, like you said, national televised.
Think we win?
I predict we lose.
Bad loss or close?
It's like hard because I just feel like it just depends on what our offense, like how
I
our offense shows up.
I think we're going to win by a lot or lose by a lot. I take
see,
away
I think,
saying it's going to be close.
I think we lose by a lot or we win by with a close one.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens because it's either I think like our offense shows up and we win
so,
by a close one.
You just don't know
what or to if think. Our offense doesn't show up and we will not beat the Clippers if our offense doesn't show up.
If Conley shows up, we win.
We need to score like 110 points or up to win this game.
Yeah.
So Jazz need to put the clamps down and we need to find it offensively.
A little interesting thing, we've been talking about how good the Clippers are defensively. You want to know what their rank is right now?
What?
28th.
I love to hear that.
First in offense, though. Huh. 28th defensively. We are first defensively, 28th offensively.
One of their perennial defensive stars, team members, Paul George is not playing.
Yeah.
So one thing to be thinking about, too, is the schedule we have upcoming is very difficult.
Oh, yeah, don't get me.
And it's just a classic front-loaded schedule for the Jazz.
Yep.
This isn't the first time we're playing the Clippers in the next week. Right?
We just need to win one of them.
Yes. I'd love to go 1-1 with the Clippers. That's honestly, that'd be
tomorrow's
awesome.
The best chance because we're at home.
Kings coming up this weekend is also a scary game, in my opinion, after a beatdown like that, going back to Sacramento. Like, although the Kings have been absolutely awful, it's kind of like one of those trap
games.
They
look like the worst team in the league right now.
Yeah. But they're not, I don't think.
What's that?
No, like, I know that they are, but I don't
know.
Oh,
you know, no, they won't be.
No. I think Phoenix isn't as good as the record shows so far.
Nope, they are the Memphis Grizzlies from last year.
Yeah, they're going to have a really good front half of the season, and then it will go downhill from there.
Really fast.
Yes. And I hate the Phoenix Suns, by the way.
Me too.
Can I just mention that at the end of this podcast? Devin Booker
is a
dick.
Yeah.
And I do not like him. The way he punched Rudy's balls like that.
Well, then Donovan went back and punched their center's balls. So.
That is the rightful order. That's what happens when you mess with our boy Rudy. Like, oh, that was such a cheap
don't
shot by Devin
didn't
Booker.
Mean to. Rudy's 7'1".
Yeah, oh, well, you can see his hand clenched, man. He grabbed him.
We want to talk about Dwight Howard sticking his finger up Jordan Ings.
Yeah, what is up with these guys being, man, the NBA's getting creepy up in here, man. You got Dwight Howard. If you haven't seen the clip, look it up. I'm sure it'll come up. But he puts his fingers up Niang's butthole.
Fully, like, meant to.
Yes. And then he gets up, and it's when they both got, like, their double tags. Oh, it was awful. And you're just like, wow, okay, now I get the whole transgender thing with him and his infatuation with transgenders or whatever it is.
I don't even know that whole situation.
Yeah, I don't really understand it either. But all I know is Dwight Howard's a weirdo. And if you need further proof of that, look up the clip of him.
To do that in a game.
Doing that. Just absolutely shaming our boy Niang. So, nasty. Devin Booker. It's good to see that Donovan Mitchell is still better than Devin Booker. So all those Suns fans on Twitter.
There's really no argument, though.
There really isn't. Donovan wins. Booker doesn't.
Sure, Booker has a higher. Some stats are higher. But it's you look at the yesterday, AT&T Sportsnet posted this, the side-by-side. The only thing that matters was that bottom number, which is wins.
Yes.
It was versus the matchup each other.
Yes.
6-1.
Yes. That game was a little bit like, a little, what's the
word? It was personal between the two. It was obvious that those two have something personal between each other.
Yes, there is something a little personal. Like, those teams don't like each other.
No.
Obviously, there's a lot of respect with the Jazz organization and Rubio.
Yeah.
But what is it? Like, I honestly, where did the Suns? It was scrappy, dude. Where did the Suns?
There
were
some cheap shots.
Yeah.
Like the Carter guy threw a little knee into Joe.
What is it though? I don't get it. Like, what caused this
little rift? I don't know if they see.
Is it really just the Booker and Mitchell fight?
I don't know what it.
Where did this Booker and Mitchell fight come from? You think about that game last year?
Was it last year or the year before that, where Marquise Chris for the Suns just absolutely ran over Rubio, like shoved him down to the ground? Like, this has been a rift that's been going on for a while.
It's totally random though, like the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, like they don't deserve that kind of respect from us.
No,
right? We don't.
The Jazz are too classy though. I mean, I do.
We're too good for them to even be getting scrappy with them. We're too good. Like, they don't win, we win.
That's interesting.
So
it's okay. The Jazz will always be better than them.
So. Yeah, Devin Booker. Yeah, it was good to see him go down. That would have been a loss. That would have pained me.
Yeah. So. But even if we lost, Donovan still played better than him. But
yeah,
they would come back and say, we're so much better. Anyway, that is the end of today's podcast, you guys. We got some fun games ahead, tough schedule ahead. You'll continue to see my high-volume tweets on game days. Yep. Austin's still part of Jazz Twitter, you guys. Go follow him.
At ChugThemJazz. Throwing up tweets all the time.
Some good content, too.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate some good that. Tweets. I try to stay level-headed. I want to have discussions. My following members isn't high right now. I'm trying to up that. I want to be like Logan Chug over here with the followers he's got. But,
yeah. Listen, the Jazz Twitter, though, you follow, they follow back. The ones who don't follow you back, you unfollow them because it's disrespectful.
Yeah, we
Jazz Twitter
family.
Isn't about all the followers and stuff. It's just about seeing what other people have in hot takes. I mean, I got 910 followers of my hot takes and overreactiveness. Yeah. It's okay. I still lose some every single day. But I gain some too, so it's fine.
Logan gets very, very stressed. But yeah, guys, I think that's all we've got for you today. Be sure to subscribe, leave a comment.
Review.
Yeah, give us a review, 5 stars.
What you want to hear? Tell us what you want
to
hear.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter and make a comment or whatever if you want us to, if you have a question that you want answered or anything. And we'll be sure to throw it on our podcast.
We look forward to these really fun games coming up.
Yeah, let's go get them against the Clippers tomorrow.
Stay positive. I'm going to try and stay positive.
Honestly, 3-1, I'll take it right now. Oh, with the slot to play. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get it. Go Jazz.